Chapter 6. Great Hat Chase. Late that morning, over a lunch of fruit and nuts, Makwa watched people pass by outside the door to the inn while Saruth was off on business. His final words before he left gnawed at Makwa's mind.
"Remain here and stay out of trouble."
Makwa's ears laid back just from thinking about it. He'd been a successful thief back home. Saruth telling him not to steal was something he expected. Almost all nice adults were in agreement on that one. But Makwa hadn't expected to be told to stay there. He could clomp around the inn in his boots, getting more used to them, but because he couldn't go anywhere else, he was running out of things to look at. He finished the final piece of fruit that was the free meal for staying there, and thanked the innkeeper. He went upstairs to their room to find something else to do, even if it was only more staring outside and wishing he could go there. He was sure he could see more from the balcony anyway. Upon entering their room, he heard a strange noise. Someone or something was in there. Maybe it was a thief, or maybe it was a Vazuga. Whatever it was, he had to know. He crept on tiptoe through the open doorway and toward the corner of the room. Rummaging sounds continued, making his ears perk. The sounds came to a sudden stop. It was too quiet. He then heard the creak of floorboards. Makwa peered around the corner and looked right into a pair of green eyes looking back at him. He screamed. She screamed. Makwa watched as a girl wearing purple cloth about her chest and hips hissed and jumped back, clutching something to her heart. Upon further inspection, he found it was his hat. He peeled back his lips and said with a growl in his voice, "Give me back my hat!" The girl blinked and her eyes shifted toward the balcony. Makwa followed her gaze and then looked back to her. "Don't even think about—" The girl ran into a fluid leap, landed on the rail of the balcony, made another jump to a branch of a large nearby tree, and began to climb down. Makwa growled and grabbed his spear. "Ooh, I'm going to get you, you little thief!" He darted from the room, ran down the hall, turned the corner, and raced down the stairs two at a time. An old lady screamed and dropped an armload of packages as he rushed past her. He burst forth from the stairwell into the lobby and made several people look up from their reading and conversations as he dodged around and between people walking in. There were wide eyes, and some of the strangers pressed themselves to the sides of the doorway to make room. He winced, knowing he'd regret this later, but the worry only lasted a moment as he rushed through the door and came to a halt at the bustling street. A flash of purple cloth and familiar tan fur caught his attention, and he zeroed in on his hat. "Hey!" he pointed with his spear. She went down the street, heading for a cross street. This was a problem. He glanced up and noted that their room was the only one that wasn't closed. His instincts told him that it was easy pickings, and he knew he would have done it too, before he met Saruth anyway. He thought for half a second about what Saruth had said, how he was supposed to stay here and out of trouble. He thought about the situation for a moment. If failing to do one of two things wasn't a success, why should he bother with the other? He'd be in trouble either way. His more lively conscience retaliated on his thoughts, and he groaned as he tried to figure out what he should do, and tugged his ears as he growled at the fact that he cared if Saruth got mad. This entire process took a few moments to complete, but put him no closer to a choice as he watched the girl move farther away by the second. There was a sudden commotion behind him involving the old lady he'd frightened and a servant at the inn. There were fingers and pointing, and he was the target. The decision was made now, and it no longer mattered if he liked it or not. If he was going to be in trouble with Saruth, he'd rather take his punishment with his hat on. He took off after her. "Come back, you little thief!" As he ran, a servant broke into a sprint. "Come back here, you delinquent!" The little thief dashed through a market. Past carts and over small fruit stands, Makwa ran and jumped. The girl was fast, but at least 2 years of living on the streets and running from the watch made Makwa faster. He was gaining on her. He bumped into a man carrying a heavy crate. The man lost his balance and dropped his load into the side of a stand full of firewood. Yells and growls alerted Makwa that the list of people who would like to discuss his actions with him was growing. He looked back to see the stand tumble and the load clatter onto the street. "Sorry!" He shouldn't have grinned, but he did when he saw the servant chasing him slip up and began to fall on the loose sticks. He had one less problem, for the moment. The man tripped and went headlong into a stand of vegetables. Makwa winced and slowed. "Oh, great fish." As he stopped and watched the stand topple and vegetables spill into the street, he saw people looking his way. Their expressions informed him that it was time to run again. He looked up, caught sight of the girl nearing a side street up ahead, and took off after her once more. A Cathbury lowed in surprise as the girl found a mud puddle, flailed her arms, hat included, and slid into the animal on her botched turn. She bounced off of it with a yip and fell on her rear with a grimace on her face, dropping the hat. She looked herself over and said something to the animal's owner, who nodded and pointed at Maqua. At that moment, Maqua snarled at the top of his voice, "I'll get you, you little runt!" She looked back, and her green eyes went wide as she screeched in terror and scrambled to her feet. The look on her face might have made him think twice about following her, had she not stopped to grab the hat from the ground before taking off again in a bid for escape. The man with the cart made eye contact with him.
"Hey! Boy, what are you doing? She's just a little girl!"
"She stole my hat!" Maqua kept after her, panting as he went. People shouted and moved out of the way as the girl went shrieking by, and then stood for a moment and looked on in confusion, only to look up when he dashed past and yell again, this time at him. The only good news was that most of the angry people were too lazy to come after him very far. It was what was good about bystanders back home, too. If he wasn't easy to catch, they wouldn't try. He guessed that it was like that in every place. Most would forget him soon enough. The chase kept on, and he realized they were nearing the end of the street in the outskirts of town. Huffing and puffing, he got within about 20 feet of her and saw her look back with panic in her eyes. As she fled, she let out broken screams and yelps, yelling in some unintelligible language that Maqua assumed was Regentin. She made a sudden change in direction as she grabbed a doorpost, raked her claws on it to check her speed, and hurtled herself through the swinging saloon doors. There was a masculine bellow coupled with an effeminate shriek of alarm just inside, and then a clatter of glasses and plates followed by a few gasps. Wham! The doors flew open and Maqua was inside. He caught sight of the girl shaking her head as she tried to gather her wits. She was on all fours beside a man with a platter, who was sitting on the floor in the center of a puddle of drink, soup, drinking glasses, and soup bowls. One bowl was over his left ear, and noodles were hanging over his muzzle. Maqua didn't bother to continue looking at him. He was focused on one thing, and she was not escaping now. She looked up and yelped as she made a slipping brief flight from Maqua and darted behind some people. Maqua ran to go past them, and a familiar staff flew out into his path and caught him in the chest with a gentle, if firm, arrest of movement. Thump. He looked up and saw Saruth offering him a less than pleased expression. "Oh, great fish." He stepped back and rubbed his chest while he pinned both ears back. The girl was crying and trembling nearby. Saruth took the spear from Maqua without a word. The little thief clung to the waist of the man Saruth had been talking to as she peeked at Maqua from behind him with fear in her eyes. He had dark caramel-colored fur and wore red, silken loincloth in the same style as that of the girl Maqua had been chasing. Around one of his soulful, dark green eyes, he had bright blue paint in the shape of a flower, and on his chest were other shapes flowing down from the paint on his face. They looked like animals, some of which were common, while others Maqua had never seen. Around the man's neck was a cord made from twisted animal hide that had been looped through a hole drilled in the dull end of a large white fang that pointed downward to a wicked tip. About his hands were flowing pieces of red silken cloth that hung a foot or so from them, and in his grip was a walking staff. Saruth looked at the man and then gestured toward Maqua.
"Shimshebli Maqua."
Maqua blinked, and his eyes grew wide as he opened his mouth to explain. Saruth held up a hand for silence. "I was chasing her because—" Saruth interrupted, holding a hand out with a glare.
"Maqua."
Maqua growled, crossed his arms. "She stole my hat. Look!" Saruth lifted a brow at him and looked over at the girl. "See? There it is!" He pointed to the hat the girl had in one hand behind the man. With a yip, she hid it behind her back with one hand while the other wiped tears from her eyes. The man blinked at Saruth.
"Akwesanoofthe."
He pointed to Maqua and made a gesture as if putting a hat on his head. The man laughed and turned, looking down at his little girl.
"Umquinadidoth, Shimna."
The girl burst into an explanation of her own, complete with hand gestures showing everything from running away to being threatened with a spear, which she pointed at as Saruth held it. Again, the stranger said, this time in a more displeased tone as his eyes narrowed.
"Umquina didoth, Shimna."
The girl growled and held up her chin. "Didoth mufuya, nift umquina." The man pointed toward Maqua as he looked at the girl and said something else to her in a threatening tone. Her eyes went wide, and she shook her head before she ran over to Makwa and slammed the hat down over his eyes and then darted out the door. Saruth and the man both laughed. Makwa pulled his hat from his head and looked up at Saruth, who looked back at him. Saruth's eyes showed good humor in their warm blue depths, yet held a bit of displeasure. Makwa felt rotten for getting into trouble, and Saruth didn't even have to say a word for the reprimand to sink in. Even though he didn't actually start it, he knew he was as much to blame as the girl. He looked down at the hat to find that it was undamaged, and tried to think of something to say to atone for his actions. Saruth gave a comforting purr while holding Makwa's spear out to him.
"It's all right, Makwa. I know you must have considered your reasons good at the time. Just try to stay out of mischief next time and realize that I only ask you to do things like stay put, with the intent of protecting you from harm."
Makwa nodded and took the spear. He looked at the painted man, inspecting him. "Who's this guy?" Saruth waved a hand to the man.
"This is Toljapa. He'll be our help getting to Wazella."
Toljapa bowed to Makwa, which surprised him, and then surprised him even more when he said,
"Makwa, good it is to meet you."
Makwa pressed palms as Toljapa offered his.
"It's good to meet you too, Toljapa.
He looked down for a moment. How could he explain this one? Well, there was always the truth, wasn't there?
"I wouldn't have hurt her. I just wanted my hat back."
"Ah, yes. Shimna is much trouble for strangers. I know you would not. I could tell from your way that you only wanted what was yours. I'm sorry she took what was not hers. As many times as I tell her to stay out of trouble in this port, this is the number of times she upsets someone here. Some day she will grow to understand why I tell her these things. Then she will obey when I say them, but until then, many spankings for her."
Makwa looked at him and lifted a brow. Why did he put all of his words in such odd places? He glanced at Saruth a moment later as he considered the man's words. His ears lay back at the similarity between Shimna's situation and his own. Saruth grinned. Makwa was about to inform Saruth that not saying anything about it was his foremost suggestion, but then Toljapa asked something in that odd language of his. Saruth burst into laughter and held up a hand. When the laughing was over, he said,
"No, no, Toljapa. Makwa just isn't used to it being worded that way. It's not wrong, just said differently than he would."
Toljapa nodded with a grin.
"I do not speak the Barumath speech very well. I'm sorry for being hard to listen to."
Makwa nodded.
"It's okay. How will you get us to Wazella?"
The man grinned.
"My friend the Tortanga Coolie will get us there if I ask him."
Saruth shared the grin.
"Makwa, you're about to see how the Regentans like to travel. We will leave tomorrow night."
Makwa nodded with wide, curious eyes, and another question came to mind. Before he could speak, though, Saruth narrowed his eyes and said,
"Makwa, I do forgive you, but as punishment for disobeying, you have to do something for me."
Makwa stifled a groan and nodded as his ears drooped. Saruth pointed through the saloon doors.
"Go find Shimna. She should be just outside somewhere, and if not, down out of town a ways by the edge of the swamp. Watch the girl and make sure she doesn't steal anything else or get into more trouble."
Makwa lifted a brow as he wondered why Saruth would make him, a previous thief, do this. After a moment, it came to mind that Saruth trusted him, or at least it was a chance to gain more trust. That was valuable. He smiled, saluted with his spear, and then dashed out to get to it.